Well, we've been teaching, our subject matter has been testing of your faith, and there's things that the Lord spoke to me about this subject, but coming to church this morning, there's the Lord that's said some things to me, and I'm gonna go over to it. It would be back, probably somewhere from the middle toward, maybe toward the beginning of January, the Lord spoke to me some things about this year coming up, and, you know, but he didn't tell me to say anything, or so I don't necessarily say, you know, you have to learn, you know, some things are to say and some things are not to say, or when you're supposed to say them, I didn't know. But anyhow, I mean, there's so far, like, over the last number of weeks, he taken me over and reminding me of these things that he said. And in his revealing these things, he said, well, this morning coming to church, and he said, I was out here just down the street here coming up, and the Lord said, I want you to talk about that today. And I said, well, we're going to do some other, but well, okay, whatever. We're going to do, and we're going to talk about these things. And I've read over this and read over it numbers of times, but concerning things, because one of the things that you've heard me talk about is dealing in these end times. There's two veins or two things that run, and people lots of times get caught on either one side or the other. The Bible teaches and talks about the glory of the end times, but it also talks about the judgment. And so you have both things we see in Scripture. People usually get tied to one side or another, and then, but they don't really have a balance about the things, what is going on. And there's one thing that I have seen in these, what we call these last days that we're living in today, these times we're living in. We see really two extremes in that stuff of things. We see the way over here on this side, you know, people are just going nuts and things, and like we see all these things going on, and some people that really troubles them. Yet over on the side, concerning God and what He's doing, to me, these last few years have just been wonderful. The things God's revealing and what He's doing, and it all depends on which side you're viewing it from. As number one, we don't want to be a people put our head in the sand and act like it don't exist. What's happening around us? We're not doing that is number one. We need to understand this. God deals with things and deals with things about judgment. And, you know, there's judgment talked about in the New Testament. Now, you know, everybody thinks that stuff was just Old Testament stuff. Well, there's judgment in the New Testament and it talks about it. Judgment that'll go on. Things will be judged. Everything gets judged. You know, I always like Christians say, well, you're not supposed to judge. Well, what do you mean by not supposed to judge? Because I can show you with Apostle Paul, he was confused with the church at Corinth because they weren't judging anything. He said, what's wrong with you guys? You let this stuff go on in your church and you don't deal with it. You don't judge. Well, see, number one, you need to understand this. People who don't judge concerning things that affect even yourself and other people that need to be judged, you don't walk in love. Love judges. Love is righteous. Love never helps promote sin. Love never, you know, God is love and hell has people in it. So the idea that people get that love, you know, just, you know, oh, we don't want to do that. I'm sorry, the Bible tells us and the New Testament tells us, you know. And we need to understand it. So things are being judged. And there's things that God wants to judge and He wants to deal with. You know, don't pray for a move of God if you don't want any judgment. Whatever you do, don't bother praying, because if you want a move of God, there's things going to get judged so God can move. There's things about you personally He'll judge you. Why? To bring you in line, because you're asking for a move of God. There's things God has judged me over the last couple of years. There's things that He's dealt with me on. Not to hurt me, but for the whole point, I want a move of God. Well, there's things I must do to come in line with that move of God. And so, and it's the same way with you, you know. You know, we have all in our whole society runs it. You know, such times, you know, when you're with a company or working, you want a better job. Usually you have to do something more to get that, to get the position, you know. and to do that. I mean, sometimes more education or more something or other, more training in different things, and we do that thing. Spiritually, things are absolutely no different. You don't get promotion by God just because you showed up. It don't happen. It doesn't happen. Paul said, God found me faithful and put me into ministry. He didn't say, Paul, I called you to the ministry and that's how you got there. Huh? Paul had a call from the ministry, but he didn't get put in the ministry till he was found faithful. So in other words, he had to do some things to get him, be put into the position. And I've learned that over the years there's too. It doesn't matter what God's called you to. Are you eligible for the calling? The average Christian and even minister will never enter in to the calling that God has for them. They won't enter into it. Most people believe God wants me to do something, it'll just happen. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you can live in that fairy tale land all you want, and that ain't happening. That ain't going. Paul wrote about people had shipwreck faith. So I guess it didn't. Just don't get into where you want. You just end up there. There's something, things required of us. And I find it good. And God's dealing with things. And one of the things is, I want you to understand this is, I'm going to read some things here because these scriptures, the Lord kept talking to me about using a certain term. He kept saying to me about things. And, I'm going to read to you because I knew where the scripture was, and I went over to the scripture that he had given to me and talking about what's going on and what's happening. God has been very patient and kind with his people, with the church. And over the last 20 years, he's put up with a lot. And he's been kind and not dealt with a lot of things where people are way out of line. People preaching false gospels. We have it in the New Testament. It tells us that's one of the signs of the end times. People preaching doctrines of devils. That's what it says. Does that mean they're preaching the devil's Lord? No. But they're preaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, leading people astray. And God has been kind. You know, we as a nation, God has been very kind to us. Hasn't dealt with us according to what we have and what we know. We need to understand, as America, God, if you'll find it, if you're a student of the Bible, you'll find this out about God. God deals with people according to what they've known or what they've been taught. He doesn't deal with everybody the same. He deals with them according to what they know. That only makes sense. You know, a 3-year-old, we don't deal with them the same way we would do a 20-year-old. Except in America today, most 20 years old are like a 3-year-old, and we keep trying to deal with them with that and getting nowhere. But we have these kind of things that are going on. God doesn't deal with, God deals with people to what they know. And if you know certain things and understand the fact, it's even concerning callings. The New Testament tells us concerning, I stand in the office of, as a minister, the Bible says in the New Testament, I stand in a greater judgment. Why? Because of what's revealed to me. See, God don't judge you according to what's revealed to me. But understand you, God judges you and according to what's been revealed to you. And he'll judge you according to that. Now, there's one thing of it is, I don't mind being held in a greater judgment because, you know, God's revealing things to me. So I can walk I should be able to walk in a higher way. A lot of ministers don't. A lot of ministers, they're like the people who they're supposed to be serving. But they're like them. They should walk in a higher place. And they don't. They want to be everybody's buddy. I ain't your buddy. You know, everybody wants that today. They want the CEO of the company to be their buddy. He ain't your buddy. He's your boss. Shut up, sit down, do your job. That's what the Bible says. Obey. Obey those who are over you. But that don't fit the American culture. Our culture is much more important than God is. Our beliefs. And we don't realize this. It'll bring judgment. It always will. It'll bring judgment. It'll bring judgment. See, we want things to get straightened out in America. We'd like things straightened out. But do you really want things straightened out? Getting things straightened out, lots of times there's a cost to it. You know, the trouble, you know, concerning America, I remember back when Bill Clinton was president, and I saw this going on, because really, we saw during that administration, really, the divide in America started this thing, and the government, ever since, they've been fussing with each other. I mean, they're just fussing and carrying on all the time. I remember back when Bill Clinton was president, and I got praying about our government, and I asked the Lord, what on earth's going on? I mean, compared to today, it was like a picnic back then. But I looked back, I was praying about this thing. The Lord said this to me. He said, I'm judging the God of America. I'm judging the government. Many people, the government's the God, was the fact of it is. If you want socialism, socialism is about the government being God. The government takes care of me. I'm not responsible for me. Somebody else is. That's socialism. You need to take care of me. You need to look after me. My problems are in my life is because you ain't done right. Somebody needs to be responsible. We need to have somebody fix this. I always love to hear people do that. Every time a problem comes up, government ought to do something about that. And I think, well, why don't you do something, lazy? Why don't you do something about it? No, we got to get the government in on it. I understand this. Every time the government gets their hands on it, it don't turn out well. Get real about it. Be honest. But you know what? They can't. They can't fix me. They can't fix you. Man, if we don't get God in on this fix, we're doomed. We need God in the middle of the thing. Not some other kind of nonsense or something. And the church should be the role model of this thing. The church needs to be the role model of this thing. Of we become a people of taking on responsibility. Number one, for ourselves. You can't take a responsibility. So many people today are trying to do stuff for other people, and they ain't even straight. Get yourself straight. Get yourself straightened out. That's number one on the agenda. You know, what good am I going to do you if I'm just a knucklehead? You know? After a while, you're going to say, well, what he knows don't do him any good. Why should I bother? Getting yourself straightened out. See, we want to do that. We want to get ourselves in line. Why, you know, we should each have a desire as a Christian. We want to bless and we want to help. I want to be a help to this nation. I don't want to be a sore in the side of this nation and just be asking for more. You know, see, you know, I'm 70 years old and I can complain about retired people. I can't because I'm old enough to do it because I'm in around the class of people. And you know what? I'm fed up with most of them. Because they ain't about enough to socialize. They think because they worked in their lives and they're retired, but yet people ought to take care of them all the time. I'm sorry, that ain't it. That's selfish and self-centered. We got to stop this stuff. You know, no, nobody owes me anything. They're God. But see, you know what? I can't trust God, so I got to look at you and make you do something for me. I don't have no faith in God, you know. Always looking for somebody else to take care of it. We can't do that. You know, the one of the worst things that I see, you know, really in Christianity today, and even in leadership Christianity, they look out at the people, the leaders are looking at the people as somebody that's going to supply their needs to do what they want to do. You know, I don't care what God's called me to do in the ministry, I cannot view you as my source to make this happen. I can't do that. Because you're not my source. And then we're going to put demands and we're going to manipulate people into doing what we want. We'll manipulate money out of their pockets. We'll do these kind of things. Folks, this stuff is running rampant today. Manipulation. They even call it faith. And there ain't no faith in it. It's manipulators. You know, you give me money and oh, you're just going to be blessed and overflowed. If you ain't got no faith and you give your money away, you're going to probably need it. You ain't got no faith, you know. Just giving money away to somebody don't make things work. But you know, we have things that are going on and they're not good because, you know, it doesn't bless them. And there's nothing worse. I mean, I hate it. My wallet has this thing. When I know somebody's trying to get their hand in my pocket, I have this lock that goes on my wallet. And it takes God himself to open that thing up. Because I will not give. I won't give to them. Some guy tells me, you know, well, if you don't give, we're going to have to close the doors. Let's lock them right now. Let's get them locked. Amen. Let's get them locked right now. You know, doing that stuff to people. If you don't do this, ha. And you know, I'm called to God, and so you're in trouble if you don't take care of me. You know, if God wants you to give me something, he needs to talk to you about it, not to me about it. One of the worst things I see, you know, one of the things that will hurt your faith about God being able to get things to you, if you have somebody that you think ought to be giving to you, that'll close the door for your faith working. You're not supposed to look. I don't care if you, each one of you here are multimillionaires. I cannot look at you as a source that, you know, well, they could afford to do this. Whoever God wants to do to use, if I need something, I'm supposed to, you know, I'm a big believer in you ask in your closet and God rewards you openly. We don't have much of that anymore today in the church world, especially in ministers. They don't ever go to a closet. They got a microphone in their hand. One of the biggest things that my faith over the years expanded was the fact of asking God for things and telling nobody about it and God bringing it to pass. That's it. I can trust Him. I can trust Him. I can trust Him. He will do according to His Word. He will do it. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that. He'll do. You don't need a microphone in your hand. God will listen to you. You don't need a microphone to get a hold of heaven. The Holy Ghost's inside of you. You got God smack dab right in you. He can hear you. You don't need to scream. Somebody else don't know what to hear. Mark 11:24, work as quick for you as it will for anybody. Hallelujah. He will hear you. And there's nothing greater than you get needs met because you ask and didn't say nothing to nobody else. I would tell you, that spurs your faith. I mean, it's just like, woo, oh my God. I believe and God carried this thing out. Hallelujah. Wanda and I over the years did that things numbers of times of things where we believe for stuff, didn't say nothing to anybody else. I don't ever come and tell you people what I'm believing God for. I can't stand ministers that do that. That just irks me. Because that's manipulation. And then they'll tell you faith. They didn't do it by faith. They told people what they wanted. We just went around telling people what we want. Personal needs are between me and God. Hallelujah. And I want you to be blessed in what you do for this reason. That you give or do what you do by your heart and not because somebody manipulated you to do it. God gave you, put it in your heart. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. You're following what God's put in your heart, not following something I tried to put in your heart. You want to walk there. Hallelujah. Well, I wasn't going to say none of this stuff, but the Holy Ghost is talking. But we need to understand, this is a society that you're living in. We're living in a society that's very messed up. Haven't you noticed? Haven't you noticed? A society that's very messed up. The church world's very messed up. Well, you can hardly fix the non-church world when the church world is all messed up. You can't fix it. We need a move of God because I tell you, there's people who need help to get fixed in the world, but there's people in the church who refuse to change. The Lord spoke to me about people, and they are here, and it's in the Bible, it's in the New Testament that it would be like this. There's people who are not going to change. There's people who are going to follow things. You know, Mike was talking about walking by faith. The walking by faith is walking in the unseen realm. We don't walk by sight. You see, you can't walk by faith and just watching everything you see around you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's things that you can't see that you want to bring to seen. That's what you use faith for. The things that you want to change. I don't need to believe for what I can see. I already have that. I can see it. I'm believing for what I can't see, hallelujah, to bring that to pass. That's what we're doing. We're operating by faith. The walk of faith, like Mike said, we take a step at a time to this, you know. God tells you, just like with Abraham, you know, Abraham, I'm going to take you to a land. I'm going to take you someplace. Abraham don't know where. Well, what do you do with the first walk of faith? You start packing. See, most people, they ain't going to make a move till God tells them everything to do. That's why a person will sit their entire life and never follow the plan of God. Now, if God says you're going somewhere, well, get a bag out and pack it. We say, well, I don't know where I'm going, warm or cold. Well, then put both kind in the pack it all. But you don't need to hear step two when you will not do step one. Well, you won't believe and do it. See, I learned a long time ago. I've learned these principles as a young Christian. And I'm talking about young. My first year of Christianity. I learned about this stuff. How you act in faith. You just start, you do what you know to do, you can do. That's your, I go as far as I know. You know, God said you're going to do this, you're going to do that. You know, I never forget when God told me, and then I was supposed to go to Bible school, and he spoke to me about that. He did it while I was working at Reese Candy Company, and it was in January, beginning of the year, and the Lord said, I want you to go to Rhema Bible Training Center this year. And I thought, well, okay, that's it. I was willing to do that. So, you know what I started? I started making plans to go. I went home and told Wanda about it, what God said me to do. And I started making plans to go. Now my plans to go, we didn't have the money to go. We didn't have the money at all. And, but you know what? I never let that enter my mind. I don't need money to plan and start making the plans to do it and getting things ready. Yeah, I don't need no money to do that. See, most people, there's people, over the years I've watched people come to me, well, I'm believing God for money to do this. And what I find out, they ain't going to do a thing till the money shows up. And you know what? The money never shows up. Money never, why? Because they never done nothing but faith. They never acted. They're saying, yeah, I'm believing God. Well, if you're believing God, it's like we found out vacations. We'd want to go on a good vacation. We'd start making plans for the vacation. We'd even go tell, when Mom and I wouldn't even have any money, we'd go tell people, we're going such and such a place on vacation. And we didn't have no money to go there at all. But we tell people, we're going there on vacation. This is what we're going to do. We'd turn around and make reservations at a hotel we didn't have the money to pay for. I can make reservations. I can start acting like it's real. We'd go around people we know and say, you know, we're going to such and such a place. Yep, this is where we're going this year. And you know what we'd say? We didn't even have any dates picked that we're going. Well, what if the money don't come in? Well, then you don't ever bother trying to do that. If that is your question, I know this. You know nothing about faith. So don't do what I'm doing. You don't know nothing about it. We'd pick the dates. We were good. We'd have it all set. Never one time that we didn't have the money come in this. Never once. Every time the money showed up, and always more than what we were asking God for. Why? Because the Bible says he does exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think according to the power that works in you. So you know what? I'll always get more than I ask for. Hallelujah! Glory to God, because he's good. That's the way he operates. But see, if you come over to this life that I'm talking about here, and see, many people aren't today. Most of Christianity is walking by our society. Christianity, they call it Christianity, but it's not Christianity. It's based on American culture. It's a religion that they call Christianity, but it's based on American culture. It has a different Jesus who tolerates anything and everything. Its whole philosophy is different, accepts everything. Everything's all right. God accepts me the way that I am. It's like I always say, no, he don't. That's why you need born again. He will not accept you the way you are. Hell has the people that didn't change. And we need to come to that. We have all these wonderful cliche. I call it the cliche Christianity. All these wonderful things that are said. I can turn the radio on or TV on and listen to preachers, and they just, I mean, there's certain cliches, and they all use them, and they just go through them, and you know what they mean? Nothing. They're useless, worthless words that sound really nice that produce nothing. Nice cliches, but they have no value. There's no power to change. There's one thing, as I found out, the Word of God, it changes you. The Word of God is powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. My God, it'll do something. It's not this week, just, yeah, nice little words. God's Word is power. Hallelujah. And that's what I love about it. Hallelujah, because it could do something for me. It could take me and turn me into what I was not. Hallelujah. And that's by the power of the Word of God. Glory to God. Now, I want to share with you something, because it was just something that the Holy Spirit brought to mind to me. And I knew when I heard it, he was talking to me. And I knew it was God. It was over in Peter where God was speaking concerning Lot. and what happened. And but I want to read to you here because I went over to this to look at these things. It's one of the things that he kept saying to me about the King James Version uses the word vexed in this scripture. It uses the term vexed. That's talking about Lot. It said his soul was vexed. And the whole idea is somebody's vexed. In other words, it's something on your soul that's, you know, causing you a problem. It's weighty. It's something having to deal with things. And, you know, as I've thought about it, I mean, you think about as a Christian living in this day and time, are there things that you would say were vexing your soul that are going on in our nation and happening in the church? When you say there's stuff that's vexing our souls. You need to understand this. God is concerned about this. See, God has tolerated, through God's love, He has tolerated people vexing other people's souls. But the scripture tells us He's going to deal with this thing, that He runs out of that. Why? It's because understand this. God rewards righteousness. He don't reward evil and wickedness. And God is long-suffering, and God sure has been long-suffering of letting things go. I know with me, I've had to repent and say, Lord, my God, You've been long-suffering with me on some things. Forgive me, man. You've been long-suffering, letting things go. Hallelujah. But one thing of it is, the Bible tells us we reap what we sow. Understand, that's a principle that stands no matter what. That's for sinner, saint, it don't matter. Reaping what one sows. And there's one thing that's really been told that has been really wrong in teaching. This idea that if you repent, you don't reap what you sow. You know, if you get a farmer out here and he's planting wheat and it had been a good year to plant corn, corn don't come in because he says, I'm sure sorry, I planted wheat this year. Lord, forgive me, Lord, for planting wheat this year. Corn doesn't come up. You need to understand this. I've watched people all the time doing this thing and they have the idea and are taught that if you repent and ask God to forgive you, that then what you do just goes away. Well, go ask somebody who's on death row for murder. They get saved and they automatically get out of jail and they just, okay, yep, we're just going to let you out. A young girl gets pregnant and repents and says, I shouldn't have been messing around. Does the baby disappear? Isn't that amazing? You see, there's things set in motion. I know people repented. I know, like, say, one partner are married and one of the partners is cheating, does stuff, and anyhow, the marriage ends up in a divorce, ends up messed up because one won't live right. But then later they repent. Does that get the marriage back together? Does everybody just get because they repented? No. You can't count on that. See, you reap things that you sow, and people need to understand these things. Because we preach a false gospel making people believe they can sin and all that. I've heard Christians say this. Well, I know that isn't right to do, but God will forgive me. And I think, He may forgive you, but you're going to reap what you sowed. You're going to reap. See, why? Because we preach a false gospel. We have a false gospel that is not true. Because I repented and said, yeah, Lord, I just, you know, it's going to all go away. That's why. What is the point of doing good if it doesn't pay off any better than the guy that does evil? What's the point of it? There's one thing that I learned about God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He doesn't say He's a rewarder of everybody who gets saved. Huh? Does it say that? Oh. Oh, now it's made up today that that's what it is, but it's not said. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I just figured this out when I got saved. It would be best if I do my best to live right and walk right. That would be the best way to do this. To set myself. Now, if I do mess up, I do want to repent. But you know, sometimes I set things in motion that didn't turn out well, even though I repented. But they didn't turn out well. I made the wrong choice, you know. And so we need to understand these things because this has to do with what we're going to read here in Peter. Because when wrong things are said and done, we need to know outcome about stuff. God has been long-suffering, very long-suffering concerning people. When the Lord spoke to me, He spoke to me about Lot and Lot's soul being vexed. We'll read about that in these scriptures as we go through. But as I read, the Lord took me to the second chapter of 2 Peter, and I'm going to start with the first verse because this speaks directly to the church. This is speaking directly to the church. So we want to get, he said, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. So we're told. Now, I could take you over and show you Paul's writings to Timothy, different ones where Paul wrote and talked about the same stuff kind of was going to go on concerning teachers in the church, people in the church teaching doctrines of devils, all those kind of, so things going on in the end times. Now, look, we know this is happening in the end times. We're seeing this today. We're seeing doctrines and stuff taught and preached. We're seeing churches and stuff coming up. Homosexuality is all right, you know. You can be the minister if you want to. And you can have whatever perversion. You can be an adulterer, a fornicator. You can be whatever you like to be because God accepts us all. So, you know, they all those. You know, I don't hate those people. I want to see them saved. But I'm going to tell you what. I can't be hanging around people. Paul wrote and said this in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. He talked about if you have a so-called brother. In other words, once a person calls himself a Christian, there's a certain lifestyle that they are demanded to walk. He said, if you have a so-called brother, one of the things he said, if they're immoral, don't even as much as eat with them. Not us. Now we'll make them the preacher. We'll make them this and that. We'll hang out with them because we're going to reach them. Should I tell you how to reach them? You put them out. You go and tell them, you either repent and turn. You either leave this lifestyle or you're out. Oh, we don't. We're great lovers today. We're great lovers. So what the Lord said to me back in about 1982, he spoke this to me. And when he took me over to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and he said this to me, he said, the church thinks they love more than I do. And then he took me over to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and had me read through it, and I read through it. And he said, I tell them to put these people out. And he said, they do nothing but make ministries to them. You know, I know one minister we had in our church was really good. He got preaching. He said, you know, what do we do to the fornicator? Do we turn around and say, okay, you know, I only cheat on my wife, you know. I only treat on her twice a week now. You know, I'm doing much better. You know, I'm trying to quit. You know, I'm sure the wife appreciates that. She's really glad. You know, the Bible talks about a drunkard. You're supposed to tell him to stop. It didn't say send him to AA and try to get him to quit. You see, we don't do that. See, people don't want to do things today if it just means any difficulty in their life. To just keep going. Nobody does nothing about it. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, when the way he spoke to them, he told them they were arrogant because he had put the guy out. He didn't tell them they were loving. He said, you're arrogant. Boy, are we in an arrogant church world today, full of arrogance. Our idea of doing things. Turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. My God, you do that today in a church, they'll want to take a pastor out and crucify him. Oh, yeah. I mean, the rock carriers, I mean, we got them. Boy, you got to walk in love, you know. Love would never do such a thing. And that's why sin don't stop. There is no fear. Do you ever think from the natural standpoint, the Apostle Paul wrote about government and he said, government was supposed to bring terror on the wicked. Well, see, I worked in the prison system and I know why the prison system don't work. You can't rehabilitate people who aren't afraid of you, who are used to committing crime and won't stop. And if you don't have a punishment for them is greater than their crime, they will keep doing it. I know. 86.9% return rate. They ain't quitting. Why? There's no need to. Ain't nothing gonna happen to you. You can commit murders. And in Pennsylvania, they'll never put you to death. I mean, they'll never even do that. You can kill. We'll feed you forever, give you doctors and whatever else. Totally against the Bible. The Bible says this. Paul said God didn't give the government to use the sword in vain. In other words, put people to death. Well, it's in vain in America. America, it operates, and the church world is the main culprit of operating against the Word of God. We reward the wicked and we hate the righteous. We let the wicked destroy the righteous, steal, kill, and destroy. We let the devil come in the church and run the sucker and then turn around and talk about God. I bet he could almost puke when he hears them use his name and his voice and the stuff they say and do. There's no protection of the righteous anymore. God tolerates for a long time. But I want to tell you, this year, tolerance is ending. Tolerance is ending this year. You're going to see deaths in the church. Deaths of leaders. You're going to see judgment. You're going to see. You think you've seen among people sickness and disease? You ain't seen nothing yet. People are going to live for the devil. God's going to let the devil have them. This is what I know. See, I was involved before I was a Christian. I was involved in sorcery. There's one thing that I learned. The devil always kills the people who serve him. Always. He kills them. You go over and look at people who have got in the occult. They never die good or pretty, and they never live out to the old age they should. The leaders never do. Why? The devil always kills his own people. You serve him, he'll kill you. I was listening to one of those, a woman who's supposed to be some kind of medium. And I thought it was really funny on TV. I was listening to her and I thought she's nitty. She talks about how she's a medium. In other words, she hooks up with demonic powers stuff is what she's doing. And she said, and she admitted, said this, anybody who does what I do, you never live out a full life. She said, you'll die about midlife. Well, you know, she ain't working for God. God said he'd satisfy you with long life and show you his salvation. So we know what spirit she's hooked up to. And I thought, you know that and you're still going to go on this track? You're still going to do this thing? Well, one of the things that they are is they're deceived. They talk about, you know, the fact of, you know, they see what they call ghosts and they say there are people who died and they're still hanging around. No, they ain't. They're demons. They're familiar spirits. They're demons. And you mess around demons, you're going to mess around death. Don't you know, get over that. You might end up croaking early. Well, you did that one yourself. Yielding to wrong things. Hallelujah. Look what it says about these ones. They'll bring destruction. It says on them. Look at verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways. Boy, are we living there. We have entire denominations following in these destructive ways. We have right now the big dividing with the Methodist Church. See, one of the things people say, oh, they hate to see this dividing. I hear people say that. See, I think, why don't you shut up? The people that are living right, I want them to leave. I don't want them to stay. There has to be a dividing. The dividing is by God. God's dividing up what's good and evil. He's dividing up what's his and what's not his. Like Charles Capps had said before he went home to be with Jesus. He said the homosexual didn't come out of the closet. God opened the door so we could see who was who. You need to understand this. The Lutheran and the Methodist Church has had for over 40 years have had homosexuals teaching in their seminaries. For over 40 years. This isn't some new stuff. They've been bringing this thing in. They have been raising their leadership up in this stuff for years. The devil's been working in this stuff all the time along. But people thought, well, that's at a distance somewhere. That ain't in our church. Well, now it's in your church. And you invited it here by putting up with leaders. Jesus said, whoever's your teacher, your leader, you don't go any further than them. Jesus said it. Your leader's a scoundrel. You'll end up being one too. See, we need to come, we need to get down and get real about the Bible. We need to get real about these things. We're living in the middle of the Bible coming to pass. We're living right in the middle of it. People are saying, boy, can you tell it's the end times or isn't it? Say, man, if you can't see it, you are spiritually dead. You don't belong to God. It's so obvious. The Bible is so, it's here. It's on us. It's arrived. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Many follow destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words for a long time. Their judgment was not idle, it says, and their destruction does not slumber. Now it says covetousness. Now the Bible tells us in the New Testament, covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is this, is the lust for other people's stuff. Boy, did we got that. But understand, he's talking about it in the church. See, there's ministers who have a lust for people's stuff. It's a lust. They used, now understand this, because Jesus was tempted by the devil, why? With scripture. Oh, they'll use scripture on giving to get their hand in your pocket. Understand this, God deals with motivation. There is a true things of teaching people to give. There's the truth of that, and it's right. But the motivation is always love, and we're doing it from love. You know, there's a church that I used to belong to, a ministerial thing that they had. Now they have like 3,000 members, and I'll never forget. It just turned me off. They came along and they told us, we call our people giving units. I said, if you called me a giving unit, you'd never see me at your church again. I ain't your giving unit. I'm your brother in the Lord, you scoundrel. You low life, calling yourself a Christian and a minister. You see, these kinds of stuff. What's our view? How would you like me? I look at you. You're my giving unit. My God, you took me out back here and hung me. You'd be doing a favor. What a rotten scumbags. Thinking that of their people. God's people. All they are is something to put something in your pocket. They're giving units. You know, it'd be no more than a man telling his wife, you're my sexual unit, or you're my something. It'd be no different than doing something like that. If you wonder why she pulled a gun and killed him, well, I'm not going to understand. We'd all shot him too. Oh, dear God, how nuts. And this is in a church. How do people get so depraved? Why? They get covetous. You let the devil come in and he'll start to deceive you. And this is what happens. Wrong teaching comes. See, overemphasis on the areas of giving. Overemphasis on teaching of it. Overemphasis putting it out on the front of things. I've always said this and I found it's true. You know, over the years I've watched it. If your spiritual development doesn't go faster and further than your pocket, your money you got, you'll follow the money. Money will be, you'll end up following money. I've watched it with people. They start making money, but their spiritual development ain't there. They're follow the bucks. Why? Money has a great power. It can get you a lot of stuff you never have to turn around and do or maybe work or anything to get. You can get a hold of things. Money opens the door to you to a lot of things to fulfill the lusts of your flesh that you wouldn't normally be able to do. That's why you want to grow. So when you get money, when you're growing spiritually, you're not using it to fulfill the lusts of your flesh. Why? Because it leads you into sin. And what happened? The devil will end up getting a hold of you and destroying your life early. You don't want to go there to that. You want to be blessed. He'll deceive you. So you don't want to go to that place where you get deceived. Money is a wonderful tool. You need some of it. In fact, the Bible teaches us that you need enough of it to have so you can give to every good work. That's what Paul said. So in other words, God wants you to have more than you need. More than to meet your need. So you can have to give to others. That's what God wants to do. See, a person don't have enough to meet their own needs. They don't have enough to give somebody else to meet their needs. They don't have anything to do with that. So in other words, God wants you to have enough. That's good. But now we don't become money grabbers because that's good. God wants you to have that. We want to follow the principles of the Word of God. Why? So you're blessed and others are blessed. Not just so I get blessed. You know. Just so I get a lot of really good things. And so, you know, we need to be careful. We're talking about this stuff coming on. What happens? Covetousness they're operating in. Now, he's talked about these false teachers. They come in, what they're doing. See, we have false teachers. We have guys like on TV. All they do is talk about money. That's all they do. Nobody's called to just preach about money. Somebody just preaches about money all the time. Don't listen to them. Nobody's called to do that. Because you'll find the people who talk about it all the time, the last half of their show is about giving to them. Always is. And if you listen to it, you're as deceived as they are. I don't care if you don't give a nickel to them, you'll get the spirit. Just keep listening to them and you'll get that spirit on you and you'll get messed up thinking. There's demonic power. What do we find? These people here teaching this stuff, they're false teachers among you, destructive heresies and that stuff. You think they're operating on the Spirit of God? They're operating under a spirit. And you can pick things up. And see, you've got to watch that with people. People are always in a certain area, and boy, they're just trying to get it out of you. You know, you send me an offering, and boy, are you going to get blessed. If you send me an offering, I'm going to tell you what, if you give me an offering and you don't know how to operate in faith, it may get you nothing. I'm going to be honest with you. It might not get you a thing. Now, if you know how to operate in faith, it may bless you. And it will. If you know how to operate by faith, it would bless you. But this is one thing you need to understand is, you need to operate by faith. In other words, it has to be out of your heart to do it. Paul said, we don't manipulate people out of it. We don't do that kind of stuff. We're not compelling people that they have to do it. Why? Because that isn't in your heart. That's not faith. It's not out of compulsion. We give out of love. We give it out of that great desire to do it. I give because I like to do it. I like to give. I don't feel, you know, I always like Brother Hagin told us, it don't say in the scripture, if you didn't give, God's going to get you. Don't say that. God's not trying to mess you up. He's not trying to get you. But learn to do what you do. Give out of your heart. Not because somebody tells you a sob story. See, they've learned all this stuff. You know, this year here especially. These places send and you get stuff in the mail forgiven. And then they have, now they've gone to Christmas cards and all kind of this stuff, all this stuff. I get an envelope this big and it's just full of junk. And you know what all that stuff is in there? To make you feel guilty not to give them something back because of what they gave to you. And you know what? I don't care what they call doing good work. You can't get a nickel out of me on that. I will not give because you are trying to make me feel guilty if I don't. They send something and they put a nickel in it. Do you get any of those? I take a nickel, put them in my piggy bank, and throw the thing away. You know? I put a postage stamp in it. You know, I put the postage stamp in it. Good. I'll send one of you guys a card, and I'll put it on. Now, what I do? Why? Because they're using compulsion. That stuff is done. See, Multimedia operated out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And loads, the numbers of the big ministries out there use that stuff. And they would use those things and they would send stuff out. I know guys who worked there at the place. And one guy told me, he said they handle their mailings. He said, they always tell them you always have an emergency. You always have an emergency that you have to have money right now. You always have money. And he told us about these ministries. Oh, we have these oil, and you know, we prayed over all this oil and blah, blah, blah. He said they never been near the oil. He said the oil was probably put into packages in China. And he said they're shipped through and we come and stick them into things. And ministers will tell you anything, get money. There was one minister, he had this thing that he was some kind of thing, a prayer thing that he sent to people and then they were supposed to say the request over and he got it back. He was going to pin them on his suit. And then every time he went to pray, then he'd have these pinned on his suit. Now people fell for that stuff. This guy must have had a 500,000 followers. Now I want to see that suit. You talk about lie. They'll lie. Hey, they'll absolutely out and out lie. They'll lie about it. There's ministers, I mean, big name ministers that stuff, television. One guy's still on TV. He used to use the thing. His wife would go out in the audience, you know, during break times between services, and they'd have numbers of services and talk to people. And then she'd go back. He had a thing in his ear. And so she would direct him to certain people, and he would give words of knowledge to them because she talked to them. Now they got caught doing it. And you know what? Knuckleheads still today watch his TV show and send him money. People are so stupid. I mean, it is just absolutely crazy phenomenal. People ain't got no sense. You should be able to hear. You know what? Before I ever knew it about that guy, I knew something was wrong with him. I wouldn't watch his show. I remember the first time I saw him, I thought, something's wrong about this guy. Something ain't right. See, he said a lot of right things. But he didn't have a right heart. And you know what you're going to get from him? What his heart's pumping out. That's what you're going to get. And his heart ain't right. See, some Christians wonder why they get messed up. Because all they do is follow by sight what looks good, what everybody else is doing. Randall Greer says this. He said, just look at what 80% of the church world's doing. And he said, you just head the opposite direction. He said, by default, you'll be following God. It's a mess out here, but we need to come back in line with the Word of God. We'll go on here. It says, so it's by covetousness. In other words, their judgment isn't holding back. God, we don't realize this. These people's judgment was set. They may have been sitting for a long time and nothing seems to be happening, but their judgment was set a long time ago. God knows what we're going to do about it. He's being kind. Why? He'll always give people time to repent, but if they don't repent, that judgment is set. It is set. He says, look, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah out of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly. Sodom and Gomorrah is an example. Oh, not today. Today the church, no. God's in love and you just Sodom and Gomorrah in the church. We brought it into our nation, Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, he said, what did he do? Here's the Lord spoke to me and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed. That was the King James used vexed, was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. You know, we need to understand this. Most of Christianity don't get it. I mean, even people walk around. You folks love God. You want to follow God. You're desirous for God. You're hungry for God. You don't realize how much was going on in this nation and the spiritual oppression is affecting you. It is affecting you. Sometimes some of you wonder why. You know, I seem to get on some track, some things, and then I just got these problems. What is going on? It's the country you're living in. It's this age in the church age, with all the demons in the church that have been opened up to come and operate in the church. That's what Paul wrote over 1 Corinthians 5th chapter. He said, I didn't tell you to stay away from the world, or the adulterers and fornicators, all this stuff. He said, well, your problem is your brethren to do it. That's where you get the problem. Our problem is the filth in the church. You wanting to live right, and so many Christians don't care to live right. It's affecting you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's affecting you. It's oppressing your soul. See, I know this, and I say, no, you don't have to tell me about it. If you haven't felt oppression coming against you on things, if you haven't sensed it on stuff, it does. And you know what it is? It is about this. It's about what I'm talking about right now. We as Christians that want to walk, people that want to walk right. This is one thing. This is, you guys heard me say this so many times. The reason you want to live right and walk right is for other people. Not this selfish me and Jesus junk. Jesus wasn't like that. He didn't do what he did for him. We follow Jesus to bless others. And when people don't, there's such a selfishness in the church that I can sin and it's just, that's me, it's just me. No, it isn't. It's just like Lot. What was going on in that town, we're living, having living down there. Lot wanted to, Lot even told the angels came down there, these guys wanted to have sex with the angels. He said, don't, you guys shouldn't do this filthy thing. Don't do that. He's living under the oppression of a city. How sad it is. We have people call themselves God's people. They call themselves the church. And they're as filthy as Sodom and Gomorrah. They promote people to do it. If you do it, we'll put you in charge. And they don't realize it. They're oppressing others. God will not let people keep getting away with oppressing the righteous. He won't let them get away with it. He's not going to. We find out here as we go on. He delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing the lawless deeds. Boy, we got that today. I mean, do we ever hear or see the unrighteous deeds and the stuff just going on all the time? It's affecting you. Just like, you know, there was Peter saying, hey, in the end times, this stuff's going on again. This stuff's going on. The oppression. This oppression, the last days, this is what's going to happen. These teachers in the church are going to bring this stuff in. They're going to bring this stuff in that's going to oppress people. It's going to oppress the other Christians. Well, then it goes on to say, listen to this, because he told you what happened. Sodom and Gomorrah was wiped out. God wiped out the ungodly in Noah's day. Angels who got out of line, they got kicked out. Well, there's going to be a kick-out going on. This is the year of the kick-out. It says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Two sides this year. Deliverance of the righteous, the judgment of the wicked. And we're not talking about the sinners. They're already under judgment. We don't have to, they're already under judgment. We're talking about Christians under judgment. God is going to bring deliverance this year. There's going to be a freedom come to the righteous, the ones that have been setting themselves to walk and live right. There's a freedom coming. The oppression that the church has been under, ones who have desired to walk and live right. They've been, I mean, how sad it is. I mean, you look at the news media, you know, I was reading the articles, you know, the people that want to split up in the Methodist church, the ones that don't want to follow homosexuality, they're the bad people. The good people. See, you got this stuff. God ain't going to tolerate this stuff. God ain't tolerating. The Lord spoke to me of these things, and he spoke to me, this is a year of deliverance. Deliverance from this ungodly junk that's going on. There's people, judgment's been waiting. It ain't been slumbering. It ain't been asleep. They think it has been. They think it's been asleep. Let me just say this to you. I want you to get a hold of this. Many people that go along with this stuff know better. Many people that are going along with this evil know better. They know they're wrong. Many leaders know they're wrong. But they know if they stand against it, they'll lose their position. And their position is more important. You look at Jesus' day. Now, I want you to think of it. The Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was against Jesus. The Sanhedrin knew Jesus was sent from God. Nicodemus said so. He said, we know that you're a teacher sent from God because nobody can do what you do unless God's with them. And what did they ran around and said? He was the devil and the devil was doing it for him. All of that was lies. You know why? They didn't want to lose positions. You see, you watch people. Go ahead and read in Jesus' ministry how people wouldn't admit that they were they believed on him because they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. Your position is so important. See, if I follow God, I might lose something. If I follow God, don't be surprised I end up at the top. Hallelujah. The positions of men, holding on to the positions of men. That's what many people are doing today, holding on to positions of men. If I turn around and stand against it, it ain't going to go for it. It'll stop money from coming in. Money won't come to my ministry if I stand up against homosexuality. I'll just be quiet. Fornication and adultery, I'll just be quiet. I won't say anything about it. Why? Well, people will leave. And you know me. You ain't left yet? If that bugs you, there's plenty of churches in town will take you in a second and let you live that life out all you want to. But this ain't a place where you're going to feel comfortable. That's not my job, is to comfort you. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm anointed to make you nervous. If you want to live in sin, you're going to get nervous here, because the Holy Spirit's job is to convict the world of sin. This is why the Holy Spirit's hardly in the church world today, because he can't. Because if he wants to convict from sin, that ain't love. That ain't love. A messed up thing going on, but God's about to deal with this thing. Hallelujah. He goes on here. He said there, he talked about, he said, I'll read verse 9 again. He said, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly, hallelujah, out of temptation, and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Well, see, those are the scriptures that the Lord gave me concerning this here. He said, God knows how to deliver. He spoke to me. He spoke to me about Lot. He said, Lot. Lot was under pressure. Lot was living under that pressure. He had to see that sin, that evil all the time was around him. Boy, we got it today. It's just around all the time. And it's just become good. I mean, I just never understand the things. I mean, we talk about, and like Christians and conservatives and how they love Fox News. Did you ever look at Fox News things online? Go online, look at Fox News. They always have things on there with half-naked women and all that kind of stuff. And the latest star in her bikini, how hot she is in her bikini. And that's on the opening pages of online of we look at Fox News. I mean, that's the news? Getting naked? That ain't news. Dear God, they all do that. I mean, you got that kind of stuff going on. That's making you, that makes your front page online. I mean, it's just like, what on earth? That's news? That's conservative? They'll do whatever they can. You know what? I don't think Fox News likes conservatives any more than anybody else. They got a good money slot in it. And it pays. Now, they have some people on there, I think, who do. But I think generally, if there wasn't enough money in it, they'd stop, the leaders would stop it tomorrow, and they would join on into anything and make money. You need to understand this. There's a lot of people making a lot of money off of Christians playing the Christian game. There's loads of so-called Christian singers that ain't got a thing to do with Christian, but they can make money in the Christian slot singing Christian songs. Some of them have even admitted it. And people still go buying their junk. Just put some God stuff on it and that stuff and sing it, and right away it becomes Christian. Well, I'm sorry, the Buddhist believes in God, the Hindu believes in God, and the Muslim believes in God, and everybody, Mary's brother, says, well, I believe in a God. That don't make you a Christian. Amen. But we don't care. We wouldn't, most of the church wouldn't know the right spirit at all. If they got tempted like Jesus, that might, they'd have made the bread, they'd have jumped off the temple, and they would have bowed down and worshiped. They'd have done it. I'll tell you, if there's a paycheck in it, most ministers would have. Well, repent tomorrow. But we got the money to do good work. We got good things we can do. I remember as a young Christian, back in the PTL days, and I'd say to older Christian, I was just a young Christian, I'd say, there's a lot messed up and not right what they're doing. And they said, oh yeah, but they're using money to do good things. In other words, do bad stuff can bring in money to do good things. Oh. When they used to call that the mafia. That's what it was. Now we got the mafia in the church and Christians go along. If you do something that's considered, Christians will consider good, they mostly don't care where you got the money from. And how you did it. Well, they're doing something good. Hell's going to be full of good people. Good to the standard of the church. Good to the standard of the church, folks. Jesus, what would they think of him today? And they said, called him good master. And he said, there's nothing good but God. Jesus wouldn't make it 10 seconds in the church. They'd have him kicked out. My God, we'd have a cross out back here and be nailing him to that sucker. He said, no, for sure, this guy's a heathen. I mean, Apostle Paul, you wouldn't let him in a church today. He spoke too much about conduct of life. He spoke about conduct of life probably more than any subject that he discussed in his writings. That's the least talked about in the church world today. All different kind of things are talked about, but not the conduct of life. Living right. Live right? What do we do that for? It don't matter. God loves us all. Yes, he does. But there's things that he expects of me. Man don't just get saved because God loves us all. You know, Book of Revelation. You know, it was a letter to the church. Look what it's those letters to the church. You don't find the seeker-friendly church reading them suckers to nobody. They don't read those on Sunday mornings. Uh-uh. Because it's their preacher and half the congregation is talking about. And then this letter that's written, Jesus Christ narrated it himself. Just think, those letters to the church, to the seven churches, Jesus dictated those letters himself. They were dictated. You know, the book of Revelation, it isn't read in the church world today. They don't read it. And it's the only letter that we have that was specifically dictated by Jesus Christ to somebody that they wrote. And people say, well, you know, it's too controversial. That's right, because it deals with paganism and sin. It deals with all that stuff. And I, you know what? All these preachers are uncomfortable with it. Because their congregations will definitely be uncomfortable. They told them they're all right. It was by Jesus. It's a letter. It's for the church. And in that letter says this. All liars are going to be in the lake of fire. Woo, we don't want to read that. I don't want that one on the end. It didn't say, no, but if you accepted Jesus, you can be a big liar and it won't happen to you. You see, we have a false... If you read those letters to the church, Jesus never gave people the impression that if they live wrong lives, they're going to end up in heaven. One church, Jesus said, he's standing at the door knocking. He ain't even in their church. They have a church without Jesus. He's not even in it. We got him today. Loads of them today. Jesus ain't even in it. He'd like to. He's always trying to reach people. He's always trying to reach people. He said, I'm standing at the door knocking. If anybody in that place hears my voice. See, in other words, he's calling. But much of the church isn't responding to the call. They have another voice that's talking. There's another voice that's preaching another gospel. The real Jesus don't get heard. I want the real Jesus heard. I want the church. I want the Jesus who delivers people from sin, not to sin. Jesus delivered me from sin. He didn't deliver me so it was all right to sin. He delivered me from it. That was my freedom. My freedom wasn't being able to vote in our elections. That wasn't my freedom. That wasn't my freedom to say anything I want. I don't have that freedom with the gospel. I can't say anything I want. I don't have that right to the gospel. The Bible tells me how to talk. The way I'm supposed to speak. I do not have, I don't care what this nation. See, when our forefathers started off, they started off because they thought in their day most people wanted to do right. That's not today. Most people in the church don't even want to do right. The church world, you folks know it. You know it. We're around people that don't care at all. Call themselves Christians. Don't care at all about living right. Don't care at all about doing right. Around using the name of Jesus, they do all this stuff. They go around and do these things. They have no intent to live right. See, we're called to live right. We're called to a life. And you can't keep kicking judgment. Follow through in Scripture. Judgment always comes. Thank God there was a guy. I want to tell you, you need to understand this. If President Trump wouldn't have made it in as president, if he wouldn't have, America would have already been in great judgment. Understand this. By him getting voted in, it held some judgment off. But that judgment will still come. Thank God. Hezekiah had that. God went to Hezekiah and told him, because of what he did and walk right, he said, Israel was supposed to fall under judgment. He said, because you walk right, he said, you won't see it in your lifetime. His walking, a leader walking right will turn around and keep judgment off. Obama was bringing it in full blast. And thank God, God had a reprieve because there's Christians prayed and sought God and asked for mercy on America. And God, you need to understand this. President Trump is a reprieve by God to us to keep judgment off for a time so we can get some things right. There would not. The church in America would have had judgment fall on it heavily before. You can thank God. I don't care what people think of Donald Trump, but Donald Trump's done more for the church than any president specifically since I remember. I'm back to Eisenhower days. Nobody was blatantly open concerning the church as concerning Ronald Reagan, but you turn around and you take Trump. Trump has done more to open up the door to keep the church being able to preach than any president and anybody sitting in the House or the Senate. They ain't even close on that man. And they can talk about their righteousness and they don't have a mouth like he has. Well, where is their mouth? For anything good, it's closed. They might as well be cussing. They're foul and evil. Because they won't stand up right for judgment. They won't open their mouths. They're evil and wicked. And use the name of Jesus. I'm a nice guy. You know what Jesus would have said to them? Just like he said to the Pharisees. Your father's the devil. You act just like him. The Pharisees were supposed to be the good old boys in those days. The Pharisees were the Republican Party. They were the conservatives. Sure, the Sadducees, they were the liberals. They were the Democratic Party. And there was a lot of heathen in both sides. Just like there is today. Hallelujah. But I thank God for every righteous one. I thank you for everyone that'll open their mouth, because I'll tell you what, they stand under a ton of pressure. They're under huge amounts of pressure that will stand about what's right. But understand, you will too. You know, you'll stand under pressure. You stand up for what's right today? Oh, my words. They're going to say something to you too. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. Hallelujah. So you got a measuring stick. If you're getting persecuted, that's a good sign. Like Randall, Brother Hagin used to say to us, if you ain't living godly in Christ Jesus, you're not being, if you're not being persecuted, he said, because you don't live godly in Christ Jesus. First time I heard him say it, I said, ouch. I don't know about you. I said, well, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, there's people who listen to my preaching online and there's ones that don't like it. That's all right. I don't care. You know, I'm going to preach the truth. I ain't mad at them. I feel sorry for them. You tell people the truth, they want something else. I feel sorry for them. Hallelujah. God will have mercy on them, you know. I ain't going to hold nothing against them. They don't need more trouble, and I don't need the trouble. You know, I don't look at something bad happening to them, because if they keep going the direction they are, enough bad will happen to them. They don't need that. They don't need those things. Hallelujah. You just keep preaching the truth, and you'll find out things get rolling along, and they will. God starts shaking things up. There's going to be some people getting nervous. I'll just tell you this. There are going to be people, things get shaken up here with some judgment. There are going to be people who are going to turn around and move over to what's right. They're going to see this stuff. They'll see it. And they'll move over and they'll start following what's right. That's what we want. But see, if there isn't any division, Paul said to the church of Corinth, he said, there must be divisions among you that those who are right can are proved as right. Everybody can't be right. And who's proved as right? Is today there needs to be division in the church to prove who's right. Everybody has this idea. I have these ministers who talk, we all want to get together. You know, they're here in town. They send me this stuff. And if you'd see the stuff that they want to do, and they send this stuff to me, and we can all get together and work as one. I ain't being one with you guys doing the stuff you're doing. I can't be that. Me and the devil are going to get together and we're all going to work for good. You know? They talk about this unity of the faiths. There is only one faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible only talks about one faith. Any other thing is called unbelief. I'm sorry. I'm not against the Jew, but the Jew practices unbelief. I'm not against them. But that's what it is. They can't be right. If they're right, Jesus is wrong. The Hindu, he can't be right. Or Jesus is wrong. It has to be unbelief. Because it's not faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not against people, but I am against preaching wrong stuff. There needs to be an awakening. There needs to be something walking up. People going today, yeah, well, we're getting into faiths getting together. There's no such thing as faiths getting together. You know what you end up? You end up in unbelief just like they are. Just like they are. You'll end up in unbelief. Now, don't fight them and go against them, you know, try to cause trouble or things. We ain't doing that. We want to reach them with the gospel is what we want to do. But I can't go and join it up with that. That ain't how you reach. You will never find in the Bible people got reached by the apostles preaching by them joining up with them. They went into places and preached, and some people liked it, and some people wanted to kill them. Some people wanted to stone them. But they went in. How did they reach people? By preaching, not joining up with them. I'm going to tell you what. If you don't want to join up with my faith, that's your problem. I ain't joined in yours. I'm not joining. There's only one to join, and that's Jesus. Only one way to salvation. Either that's true or Jesus Christ is the biggest liar and we've been following the biggest fraud that there ever is. 40% of the churches that claim to be born again, not just use the term Christian, born again, 40% believe you can get to heaven another way. If a person believes that they can get to heaven another way, they do not have faith in Jesus Christ anymore. They have left the faith. Apostle Paul wrote about that, those who are going to depart from the faith. We have people who are leaving the faith. And unless they repent and turn, they will not go to heaven. They ain't going to go to heaven promoting some other religion. I don't care if you did. The word believe in the Bible is a continuous action verb. It doesn't mean believe something one time and now you got it for the rest of your life. It's a continuous action verb. I'll tell you what, I'm stronger in my faith in Jesus today than I was when I started. Aren't you? Hallelujah. Boy, I'll tell you, these days you want to be stronger in faith in Jesus Christ than you were when you started. Hallelujah. And we're stronger than we were when we started. And I'll tell you, we're just going to get stronger and stronger to the end. Hallelujah. We're going to become more settled in. I don't care what all these people are doing, what's going on. They're not swaying me to it. Hallelujah. But glory to God, we can call out the name of Jesus to them and preach that name that they can get in and get in this wonderful, wonderful deliverance that God has through Jesus Christ. And there is no through any other way. Hallelujah. Jesus will deliver them. Hallelujah. And this year is a deliverance. Hallelujah. Is coming to the righteous in the church. For the ones who have stood and believed what the Word said, this is a year God's going to settle some things. God's going to set some things right. Now, there's one thing. He has been merciful and He continually will be merciful. But I'll tell you what, it comes to an end. It comes to the place where things must be judged. It must be judged. And this is a year that it will happen. Hallelujah. But you can look for one thing. Hallelujah. This is a year of deliverance. Things are going to be set in order this year. Things are coming back. God's going to show who's His and who's not. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I always love the thing Paul writes and says, God knows who's His. Hallelujah. God, you know what? It might sometimes seem hard to divide out there. There's so much stuff messed up. The righteous, you know, read the churches in the book of Revelation. He said, there's some among you that haven't got bought these other doctrines. There's some of you haven't. See, in every one of them, there was people who were still walking right. Can you imagine the pressure that they're under and what they are? Well, God's going to bring some deliverance. Hallelujah. God's going to bring some deliverance to those people that have stood right in the midst of all this junk. And they've stood right. Praise God. Why? Because He is a righteous God and He is just. Hallelujah. And He's just. He, just like we're supposed to do, take the criminal and lock him up. He's going to lock up the criminals. Hallelujah. There's criminals in the church. And they're getting locked up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Whew. My. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't have no notes on none of that, but it turned out all right, I guess. I know. Hallelujah. So look, folks, this isn't a bad one for us. This, the people that want God, this is good news message. Hallelujah. Now, yes, Lord, I'll do that. There's a scripture I didn't read, and I need to read this to you because of what's going to happen. The Lord spoke to me down here this morning when I was down here doing worship, and he told me to go to this scripture. And I want to read this to you because I want to say this. There's going to be judgment coming, and you're going to see things happen to people. There's some people going to die. Some people are going to drop dead. They will, just like Ananias and Sapphira. There are people who dropped it. There's people, I tell you what, their lives are going to get really messed up. Now, I want you to read you something because the Lord said this to me. When the Lord dealt with Saul's disobedience, God took His anointing off of him. There's some people that right now, there's ministers who have completely lost their anointing. They just preach, they have a system going and do stuff, but they don't have an anointing. Their anointing has been lifted. For a time, just like Saul was. Saul was sitting around as king, but his anointing was gone. But the Lord said, I was supposed to tell you folks this and say this. It's not just to you, but for the church-wise. Because things are going to happen to people. People are going to be judged. Things are going to happen. And there's one thing that you need to do, is you need to get over to the thing to know it's the right thing to be done, and not sitting around and moaning and groaning about it, and oh, poor old so-and-so. This is what the Lord reminded me of this morning down here and said to tell you this. In 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verse 1, it says, Now the Lord said to Samuel, How long will you mourn for Saul? Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse, to the Bethlehemites, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. The Lord told me to tell you this. Don't sit around and mourn over the things that are going to happen to people and all get caught in that. You have a job for this future. And this is about getting things set in order. This is about anointings and new anointings on new people set in places and in positions. Hallelujah. And you don't want to get caught over there whining and spending all your time praying about the people. These other people. Why? Because the Lord said, I have given them time to repent. I have given them time to turn. They have refused. Their judgment's here. It's now. It's present. You look ahead. You look ahead to what God's doing. Looking ahead to the victory. Looking ahead to the people that will come to Christ. Because things are dealt with. Looking ahead. Don't look back. Don't be Lot's wife. God brought deliverance. She looking back. Don't you look back. Kenneth Hagin prophesied and said about years ago concerning the end times, leaders falling dead, dropping dead. And I always thought it was really interesting because that prophecy he was spoken under the Holy Ghost. He said about a coming, dealing with the end times, there's some of those things that he said that were in that prophecy have already come to pass under Trump being president. They've already come to pass. But in that, he said about that, he told us, he said, you'll rejoice and be glad. If you look on the inside, he isn't talking about just some natural thing. You look on the inside. Why? Because there's some things of judgment, if they don't come, nothing will change. In fact, it'll end up getting worse. It'll get worse. See, that's with the church at Corinth. Things were getting worse. They wouldn't deal with a guy in a problem, sexuality, and they wouldn't deal with it. Were things getting better? No, in the church. He said, little leaven leavens a whole lump. In other words, there's going to be more people doing this stuff. Is doing it. Why? When something's dealt with, hallelujah. See, I want glory in the church. I want you to have a strong anointing of God in your life. I want you to have the power of God on your life. I want you walking around out here, hallelujah, you're just not like ordinary people or not like everybody, hallelujah. The God, you know, Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also. He wasn't talking to preachers. He said, he who believes in me, well, you're believing in him, hallelujah. The works that he do, you'll do also, glory to God. The anointing of God on you. Demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost revealing Jesus Christ and his glory. We want those. I've come to the place, say, Lord, people won't, you know, there are people out here that are messed up, and they're messed up because they don't know any better. God ain't going after them. But there are many who know full well better than what they're doing. They know it. They have been taught and trained better and have not walked in it. It's not going to be good for them. It's not going to be good. Hallelujah. But this is our year of deliverance. The oppression will be lifted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The church will begin to walk in the glory that God has prepared for it. Father, I want to thank you today. I thank you. These are your people called out by you. Lord God, hallelujah. Father, your son Jesus Christ, he died for each one of them. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you that he took their sin on himself. Hallelujah. He paid the penalty for their sin. He shed his blood for their redemption, Lord God. Hallelujah. And it's paid for. And I want to thank you, Lord God, his body was broken for their bodies. Hallelujah. For their soundness, for their wholeness physically. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to thank you, Lord God. They belong to you. They don't belong to some man. They don't belong to another person. They're your children. Hallelujah. Lord God, I know this. We belong to one another as saints. We're a house built together. But Lord Jesus, you might put a man in charge of something, but Jesus, you're the head of the church. You are the head of the church, Jesus, not some man head of the church. Lord Jesus, you are. And Lord Jesus, we want you set back in your rightly position of the church again, where you are glorified, you are magnified, that you're the top of all. Hallelujah. And that again, that name which is above every name sets in its place and in its glory that it deserves, that salvation is under no other name, deliverance is under no other name. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And Lord Jesus, I want to thank you because you're their Lord. Hallelujah. They belong to you. You're theirs. Glory to God. I want to thank you, Father God. I thank you the good work that you started in them. You are bringing it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. That your Holy Spirit's in them is guiding them and leading them into the truth. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you because, Lord God, they are redeemed from the curse of the law. Lord God, they are the heads and they're not the tail. They are above and they're not beneath. You bless them coming in and going out, Lord God. You bless the labor of their hands. You bless their work. Lord God, you anoint them. Hallelujah. As the psalmist said, anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I thank you, Lord God, the anointing is running over on them today in the name of Jesus. I thank you they're full of wisdom and understanding. I thank you, Father God, they have the mind of Christ. Lord God, I thank you they can think in line with the Word of God, and they can know because the Holy Spirit is revealing to them. Hallelujah. And they're walking in the truth. I thank you, Lord God, that they'll run. They will not faint. They will overcome, Lord God. Hallelujah. You in this year and time, Lord God, are strengthening and building up the church. And there's a glorious church that's rising up. Those who would not be moved, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you will not allow anymore this year that their soul be vexed or oppressed, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, but they will walk in strength with a clear mind, Lord God. Hallelujah. Victory at every hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name.